This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hot Dummies on Islands feed here on the Rehab Up Network. My name is Maggie Morgan, and with me today is my beautiful and brilliant co-host, as always, the lovely Kirsten McInnes. How are you today, Kirsten?
I'm doing great. I just got called beautiful and brilliant, so I'm on top of the world.
Yeah, and it's true. No lies here. No lies detected. You know, there the light has not gone off in the villa to show that there's deception happening. And so, that's yeah. Right.
Which, boring. Is it a hot take that I didn't care about this episode of Temptation Island, like, at all, almost?
No, it's not a hot take. I mean, this episode was pretty boring. I have faith, honestly, that this episode is going to catapult us into some cheating. Like, yes. Some of the videos were pretty damning.
I agree.
And I do feel like people are about to revenge cheat back at the villa. But, like, all of that to say, there's just, like, tempter drama, which is always the most boring thing.
Yeah, because I don't know their names. I don't know who they are. And I'm not going to write it down.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I wrote it down, like, for some of them.
Here's what I wrote, Maggie. Okay. Honestly, there was drama on this episode, but eh.
Well, okay. I think that yes, there was definitely drama on this episode. I think that the thing that upset me the most, like, this is my hottest take of the episode, is that, like, how is it that Roberto literally almost cheated on Vanessa this episode and, like, grabbed a girl's face to kiss her? And she said, no, you have to talk to my best friend in the house. How long have they been there? 3 days? Tia. And then that wasn't even the clip of him, like, trying to kiss her. Like, the clip was something completely different. I'm like,
well, but the clip got Vanessa going.
You're right.
And created a beautiful Mark Wahlberg moment for me. I also, like, I feel like for years you've been very pro Mark L. Wahlberg, and I've been like, eh, no. No, I'm pro Mark L. Wahlberg. He's the only person I'm rooting for.
Can I read the text that you sent me today?
Yes.
It made me literally laugh out loud on the subway. She said, I'm so much more engaged with the Big D than Temptation Island this season so far. Like, I'm just rooting for Mark L. Wahlberg.
That's how I feel.
Feather brain. Should we get into this? This is like, okay. I would agree with you that the Big D is at least more interesting and there's, like, more drama right now. But I do think that the Big D is going to plateau for us mm-hmm. in a way that Temptation Island, I am hoping, is going to ramp up.
I have faith in both shows to entertain and that I will enjoy them. Just currently, the Big D is giving me more entertainment value. I think it's also, like, obviously I'm going to hate many people in Temptation Island. Mm-hmm. But we don't know them well enough to even really hate them that much, except for Christopher. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I hate him. But like, compared mm-hmm. to Takor?
Yeah, I mean, Takor is, and also can we, like, on the Big D, this is like, I mean, you want to talk about jumping the gun. But there is a clip of next week's Big D episode where Takor is kissing Casey. And I'm just like, what on earth is happening here? Like, what planet are we on? I am just so dumbfounded. But you know what? USA Network, they are delivering with the dummies that are hot, you know, like they really yes. are.
I also, it's been living rent free in my head, the way Takor's hat brim is folded. Like, did you notice that too? No. So it's like a normal ball cap will be either like you could maybe have a flat brim or there'll be like a little bit of a bend in it. Uh-huh. But his is like a U, like in the middle of his head. It's bent so far in that it's like blocking part of his face. And he's in confessional talking about how he wants to like, he like makes poor decisions and he doesn't want to talk about and or deal with the consequences of his actions. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, how am I supposed to take you seriously when you're wearing a hat that has been so squished beyond repair? It's not okay.
Oh, my
anyway, sorry. God. Anyways, Temptation Island.
Oh, man, no, that's perfect. That's perfect way to begin. So Temptation Island, should we talk? Okay, we should have talked about this before we began. But you know what, folks, we're doing it live here.
People love a peek behind the curtain.
So peek behind the curtain. Should we talk about all the couples and what they went through before and then do the bonfire stuff? Or should we just talk about everything, including the bonfire, all in one?
I don't have a lot written down besides right. the bonfire, so I'm happy to do it whichever way you would like to do it.
Then let's just do it in chunks, person by okay. person. So, sounds like, good. The big stars of this episode were really, I think, Great and Paris. Like, their relationship is deteriorating. Their relationship, is it
perhaps even isn't even real?
I mean, honestly, nothing. There has been no evidence more damning than this episode in the way that they're both ready to throw each other out the window.
And even Paris is like, yeah, before this, I was ready to marry him, but there's no emotion in her eyes. I'm like, you are not an actress, girl.
No emotion in her eyes. And also, like, were you ready to marry him? Because every single person that you've met since you stepped foot on this island, you've been like, you are so much better than Great.
Yeah.
You are so much better.
Like, they're not Jillian and Edgar. They're not yeah. trained actors.
They don't have that BFA, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have that. So basically, Paris, when she gets back from her date, like, this was a huge thing. You know, this was the big cliffhanger of the episode. Mm-hmm. When she gets back from the date, she says the date was great that she had with Christian. And that if there weren't cameras around, that she would,
would S his D.
Yeah. Kirsten was bleeping herself, but I just said it out and proud here.
Oh, I thought you were hesitating to say it. Well, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I did say it. So anyways, sorry, everybody.
No, this is the Hot Dummies on Islands. We we say fuck on this. We can say she said she'd suck his dick.
And like, honestly, that is a jarring thing to say.
It's, Kate, it's alarming on many levels, you uh-huh. know? Like, I am not saying, like, oh, don't do that, or oh, like, and no judgment on the act itself. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like when you're, like, fantasizing about someone, it's weird to fantasize about an act that is not bringing you necessarily pleasure. Like, I'd be like, oh, like, I want him, you know, like, it's just weird to, yeah, I'm gonna do, like, and, like, it's not to say that there's no pleasure to be had in mm-hmm. different things. It's just, like, this is a fantasy, like, this is a blue sky fantasy,
yeah,
and that's
sure.
where you're going?
Yeah, it feels a bit transactional. Like, great date, so now I'm gonna, you know, go down on this dude, you know? And I don't disagree with you that if we're going pie in the sky,
yeah.
give us more, you know?
Exactly. Like, if it's pie in the sky, I want it to be, like, a Tessa Bailey novel, like, scientifically and physically impossible, you know?
I mean, it's Temptation Island. Anything's possible. Right? Am I right?
Not, I also don't want to be confused. I do not like Tessa Bailey novels.
Okay, so then the other thing with Paris is that she asks Tajik to go on this date, and she can't ride a bike.
They did her so dirty.
I also like, they can't should ride have a bike.
Had an alternative date option for a non-bike rider. Or if Tajik had been like a nice guy, he would have said, we'll go for a fucking walk.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The fact that he left her, I was like, of course she had a terrible time on this date. He made her feel stupid.
Yeah, she didn't successfully learn to ride a bike. Uh-huh. And she got left alone.
Yeah. I mean, we saw somebody on the Big D, the exact opposite of this week. So
yes, well, and that's my winner pick for the Big D.
Me too.
I think it's very clear.
Yeah, we'll get there. so basically that's like the big Paris thing. Great, asked Tammy on a date, and then Nafisa got upset with him that he asked Tammy out, because after they went on their date, apparently Great asked her to come and cuddle with her in his room. And so when she found out that she was not going to get a second date with him, she was like, no way, I'm cuddling with you. And that was that.
I just am so curious what casting tells the tempters to get them on this show.
I think they think they're on The Bachelor.
Yeah, but then once they're there, like, how do you not know what this show is?
I think that they still think they're on The Bachelor. Like, they think that they are, like, the prize.
They are... DeLulu.
So then we get to the bonfire, and Paris's clip is Great getting a lap dance, and in his confessional, which
this was the part that I saw red, because he says he just wants to block Paris from his mind, like as if she doesn't exist at all, so he can enjoy himself.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. And like also using confessional clips is like next level Temptation Island stuff. Like it's like they're supposed to be saying their mind.
It's not new though. Like they done this. But it is one of the most evil things they do, especially like when they do confessionals, like the person your partner cheated on is also in the confessional, like talking to you. Psychological torture, which I am a fan of when it comes to reality TV.
Psychological warfare.
Definitely.
So she says, like, after the clip, she's like, you know, I'm not surprised that he said that because, like, I bully him too much. Like, I'm not super nice to him. And then Mark L. Wahlberg literally goes into full therapist mode. Like, he was on a roll this episode. No,
this was incredible. Uh-huh. And so Paris wants a man who protects her. Mm-hmm. We find out that Paris's mom passed when Paris was only 1 year old, mm-hmm. and that she didn't meet her dad until she was 11. So mm-hmm. she feels a rejection because mm-hmm. her dad wasn't there. And Mark L. Wahlberg said, what if you forgave your father for doing as good as he could? And you can forgive him and move on and do your own thing. You can free yourself of the judgment you think your father has for you. And I was like, Marco Wahlberg is speaking to so many people right now.
He's speaking to so many people, but also I will say, Mark, we love you here, but also, whoa. Like, that's a lot to say to someone after you've spoken to them three times.
I do think
them to forgive their father.
I do think that a lot, there was probably a lot of back and forth that was cut out as well. Because I can't imagine he's going straight to forgive your father for doing the best that he could, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, you're right. It is it's a lot. And that's has historically been my concern with Mark L. Wahlberg, who mm-hmm. is not a therapist or counselor, mm-hmm. but who sees himself as one. Mm-hmm. Because I think that an actual therapist will kind of meet you where you're at and help you get where you want to go. And mm-hmm. he's like, we're going where you need to go now. I will fix you. And I'm like, no, that is not correct.
I mean, but, you know, he's got his work cut out for him with these people. So God bless him for trying.
Yeah. And listen, I think he's wonderful. I truly think Mark Wahlberg is just wonderful in this episode.
So Great's clip, like we said at the top, is the Paris comment, and everybody starts freaking out. All of the guys are freaking out, and that was our big cliffhanger of that.
Yeah, so we don't know yet how Great is going to respond to this.
So next we have Roberto and Vanessa, and like there's, like we said at the top, there was just a lot of like tempter drama. Like he likes this girl named Dez, and there's this other girl named Tia. Like it doesn't really matter, but he likes Dez, and it seems as though like that's who he's going to be pursuing. So, and Vanessa likes this guy Bryce and told the other girls to like back off of him, which Paris didn't love, you know, whatever, like blah blah again, blah blah blah.
Well, yeah, and then it's also like Vanessa's talking to him and he's not really interested in her. Yeah. And she's like, well, why did you come out with me if you don't like me? And I find that Vanessa, her tone when she talks about relationships is more what you would expect like in the boardroom with like a really mean CEO who has like high expectations of his team and not what you expect on a date. And I can see why it rubs people the wrong way, but I'm living for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfection on TV. Like, the idea that she's, like, bullying these guys into, like, being interested in her, I'm obsessed. Like, I'm completely obsessed. So her clip from Roberto that she gets at the bonfire is him talking about how she's so embarrassing and how he's super embarrassed at how she always gets angry and how, and then he's telling the guys, like, yeah, I've made up my mind pretty much, like, I'm not gonna leave here with her, like, I don't care.
And like that was super fucked up of Roberto. Like that's so like harsh. There are things that you can't take back. And this is one of those things. Like to be talking about how you find it embarrassing to be with your significant other, like that cuts so deep. And Vanessa says she feels hurt. She feels betrayed. Why didn't Roberto communicate to her that it's an option that he could leave alone? Or like, why is he with her if he's so embarrassed of her? Which I think are super valid responses. And Mark asks, well, when was the last time you felt safe to be vulnerable, Vanessa? And she's like, I'm not doing this, Mark. Like, I'm not doing this. He's like, well, you kind of already are. So let's go. She says she hasn't had that in a long time. And some of the things Mark L. Wahlberg said that were wonderful, where he said, you get to have it all. You don't have to be a one-man band and be stronger than everyone. And then also mentions about her having someone who makes her feel like safe and protected, that you're allowed to have that. You deserve to have that. And I will fight for you to have that again. I'm not scared of you, Vanessa.
Go, Mark. Everyone's father here. You know. Truly.
So, and if that's not your father, it's okay. You can forgive your father for doing the best that they could.
Feather brains. Everybody listening to this podcast, please forgive your father for whatever needs to happen. Feather brains. That's going to be the theme of this season of Temptation Island.
Forgive your father?
The theme of this season of Temptation Island, I'm saying.
Okay. I was like, of the podcast. I don't know about that.
No. Okay, so that's basically Vanessa and Roberto. We're going to get Roberto's clip next week.
Yes.
Paul and Caitlin are next. And
this
I have some shit to say about Paul.
Yes. Say it.
One, why is he dressed like a substitute teacher at the bonfire? He is the most 35-year-old looking substitute teacher man I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is that his actual job? What's his job?
I don't think so, but this is the vibe I'm getting. He has the nerve and the gall to be like, I want kids right now. But also, I'm not 100% sure that Caitlin and I should even be getting married. What? Excuse me?
Okay.
And yes.
Sorry. So this article from usanetwork.com, the insider on the couples, says Caitlin, a 31-year-old fitness studio owner, has been with Hall, 35. Is he unemployed? Maybe.
Oh, my God. No wonder he wants kids. He's got nothing else to do. He's bored.
He wants an excuse to not have to get off his ass and get a job. And so he's like, oh, maybe I could be a stay-at-home dad and that will be my job. But I guarantee you, he would find that to be a much more difficult task than he believes it to be as a non-parent.
Exactly. The invisible labor that he's not accounting for.
Yeah. He doesn't know. I hate him.
Yeah.
So much. Mm-hmm. And he's 35, as you said, mm-hmm. talking to Michaela, who is a 24-year-old baby, about how he wants a crew of kids. And she's like, I want a family, too. And it's like, yeah, like an abstract.
And she cries when he says that he wants kids. And she's like, oh, I want kids, too. Ooh. And then she's like, I'm getting emotional. I was like, Michaela, come on now, Michaela.
I just pull want it together. Michaela to go have like 3 espresso martinis and like a and go dancing. I don't want her to have a family right now.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what Michaela should be doing. Yes.
Like, what are you doing killing this old ass man that you want to have a family? Like, I know, like, it's not even that big of an age difference. It's only 9 years. Like, they're both adults. But at the same time, I'm like, I'll step away from the underage girl.
Yeah. And also, like, her vibe is so, yes. Like, her vibe is, like, she lives in West Village and, like, wants to go to Mr. Purple on the weekends. Like, it's not, yeah, it's not like she's, like, this, like, Susie homemaker over here. Like,
she's like, you know? I want to move to the South and go grocery shopping. I don't know what grocery stores are called in the South.
But, like, then she also was, like, in her confessional. And she's like, how do I feel about Hall? Like, I don't know. I think that if he wasn't engaged, like, I probably would have a crush on him. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus.
No, you have a crush on him, but you don't want to because he's engaged. Yeah. And then Hall in confessional goes, I just hope that Michaela can block out the fact that I'm engaged because I really want to get to know her. Fuck you, Hall. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. I absolutely not.
So Caitlin's clip is this clip of Hall, mm-hmm. like telling the guys, like, Caitlin doesn't want kids, and telling Michaela, like, I'm so happy I met someone who wants kids. And Caitlin is in, like, after hearing that, she's like, okay. And then she's like, well, I'm glad he's opening up, I suppose. But I'm not yet ready for kids. And I think that if I saw this clip of my fiance saying this about me, I would be like flabbergasted.
I just don't understand. Yeah. This is the first that we're really learning about, like, the actual issues between Hall and Caitlin, besides the fact that he dumped her so he could sleep with other girls and never told mm-hmm. her that's why he dumped her. Mm-hmm. He thinks she's too focused on her career.
Yeah.
Do you know how thin the margins are on owning a fitness studio? Uh-huh. Like, she needs to be focused on that.
Yeah. And I bet you that he's like, you have to work late at night to do fitness classes. And it's like, exactly. That's when people take fitness classes. Like, what? Yes. Ugh. Anyways, they are, I can't wait to see his clip from Caitlin, because I can't wait to see what he's going to do. I think that Hall is going to cheat within the next 2 to 3 episodes max.
Yeah. Yeah. And but that's the thing, too. Like, that's not even fun cheating. Like, I want Hall to get cheated on and not cheat the whole time and, like, mm-hmm. get embarrassed when he proposes to her at the end.
Well, how can he propose if they're already engaged?
Well, yeah, but he's going to be like, I know we've been engaged for a year, but I just want to recommit myself to you. Like, you're will so you right. marry
that's what's
me?
Gonna happen. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to
happen.
Come
on.
Okay, so last but not least is Christopher and Maricela, who, like, honestly, they did have, like, a purplish edit this episode. Like, they didn't really focus on them.
Yeah,
basically just, like, Sebastian likes Maricela and, like, Abby is who Christopher likes, blah blah blah. But Maricela's clip is Christopher talking about Abby in his confessional and then him, like, sexy dancing with her, and Mark digs in with Maricela, and he literally says, like, do you think that Christopher can do better than you, and why is that?
Well, because Maricela says that she is always insecure and working to be what Christopher wants and, like, worried that he will find someone better, and so mm-hmm. then Mark L. Wahlberg's like, oh, do you think, like, that he could find better than you?
Yeah. And then she says, like, that she's always relying on his approval specifically, like, yeah, she's
working to be what he wants to be. He's hypercritical of her. And, like, Mark L. Wahlberg says, "You will be surprised how many people will love you just as you are."
Aww, it Mark. Was very sweet.
Honestly, sometimes Mark L. Wahlberg be saying exactly what you need to hear.
Mm-hmm. So then Christopher's clip is that night that Maricela was sobbing because he had just outed her at the party.
Two times.
She's sobbing. And but that's not like what they're focused on in the clip. She's talking about how like she's finally away from Christopher and like, that's good. She's just nervous. And, you know, she's like, this is great. This is good. This is what we came here for. And Christopher, after the clip, is like, well, I'm glad like if she wants to be free and like, that's what I want for her, because that's like always what she's saying, that like she wants to be free. But like, you know, I'm the only one who has to follow specific rules. Like, she keeps me in this box and makes me fall. And I'm like, shut up.
He says she has so many rules for me. Do you know what those rules are? She wants to know where he is, who he's with, and what time he'll be home. That's not a rule. That is the bare fucking minimum.
Yeah, and that's like checking in to make sure that your partner is safe.
And like, yeah, it's like, are you dead?
Out, yeah, and also like, should I be making dinner for two tonight? You know, like, especially if they spend every single day together, of course she's going to want to know what he's up to and like if they're going to hang out that night.
I don't think that like those aren't even rules. That's just like having a partner.
Also a friend. My roommate and I, if we're going to be home late, we'll text each other and like let each other know. You know?
Yeah, like, of course.
Just because, like, safety, you know?
And also, like, I'm sure you guys cook some meals together, too. You don't want anyone wasting food making a meal for you if you're eating out.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that's Temptation Island this week. Do you think next week, Kirsten, we will see the red light that we were promised?
If we don't see the red light next week, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Because it's past due. Show me the red light.
Show me the cheaters.
Yeah, where's the cheating? I want infidelity on my TV screen.
Exactly. We're hopeful that we can play High Infidelity by Taylor Swift over and over again as we prepare for this podcast next week.
Listen, I'll do that anyways. I love that song.
Okay, so before we go into the big D, let's take a quick break and we will see you back here in a second.
Transport yourself back in time and explore the fascinating and harrowing story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. Now open at Cosi. Don't miss Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. This epic exhibit features over 200 authentic artifacts recovered from the ocean floor. Discover poignant passenger and crew accounts and majestic recreated interiors, including the iconic Titanic Grand Staircase. Tickets for Titanic the Artifact Exhibition are on sale now. Book your voyage at cosi.org.
All right, and we are back. So let's talk about Kirsten's new obsession.
The Big D.
What do you think overall?
I just love seeing people miserable because of their own choices. I'm a demon. Listen, they called me the devil for a reason, I guess.
That's such a good way to put it, because it really is just like self-torture. Like, it's like you said, it was like psychological torture for Temptation Island. And like, as is this, like, these people watching their exes date other people, like, it clearly was presented to some of these people, like, we can maybe get back together, because too many of these people are like, well, we're going to get back together, for it to not have been presented.
It was definitely presented as like your final chance to see if the love is still there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So then it seems as though these people were a bit duped and came in expecting like, okay, well, I'm going to get to go on these romantic dates with my exes and like talk and work things through. And then their exes usually, like, in each couple, basically, it's like their ex is like, well, no, there's another hot person here that I would like to kiss.
Yeah, they're like, that's not why we came here.
Mm-hmm. Like, so what do you think of the new girl, Angelique?
I think Angelique is wild.
Uh-huh.
I think she's everything Casey wishes she was, which poor Casey.
Uh-huh. Angelique, you know, I love Angelique's story, that, you know, she was married at 20 and she's ex-Mormon. one of my best friends is ex-Mormon. Jacob and I cover Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and a lot of those women are either practicing Mormons or ex-Mormon. And like, there's a lot of those storylines about like deconstructing what that is. So when she said that she was ex-Mormon, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be fascinating, because
yes,
like, the stories of ex-Mormons that I've heard have been so intense. Well,
and she's only been divorced 7 months. So she's not very far removed from that.
But, and like, I mean, she's loud and excitable, and her and Dean, you know, like when they went on their little, they won the,
it was super cute
date. Yeah. They were having like such a great time, and like the other people were already annoyed with them. And I do think that that's very fun, you know?
I really enjoy her energy. I think that she will bring a lot to the show. And like, sorry, Casey, that you're the B plot line now.
Yeah. So they did their first this exercise thing, and they were dancing. They had to dance with one another, and the two people that won were Blair and Dee Dee.
Yes.
And then Devin won with Angelique.
Yes.
And so then they were going to be safe. They were going to get to go on the date. And when they,
and it's a them, horseback riding on the beach.
Exactly. And Devin immediately, like without a second thought, was like, Angelique, sorry, like this is no disrespect towards you, but I cannot do that, because this is like Alexis's bucket list dream date. Like when we first got together, she said the number one thing she would want to do with me is go horseback riding. I thought that she was going to ask Angelique to swap out with
Alexis. Yeah, I thought that he, I was confused because I thought that he was asking, can I go with
Alexis?
Alexis instead.
And I
thought that they were approving that. And then they were like, well, you know, this makes you up for elimination. And I was like, excuse me.
I bet you that that was his initial thing that he asked. And then a lot of production conversation happened. And they were like, no, you can either go on the date with Angelique or give up the date, but you can't take Alexis instead of Angelique, because that's not fair to her. So
I thought that they were going to be like, okay, Angelique, you can pick someone. Devin and Alexis, you'll go. Like, I thought they were just going to have a third couple save. And I was like, cool. I'm happy with that.
And I would have loved to have seen Alexis and Devin on this date, because if this was like her dream, you know, she would have been like so happy and excited. Yeah. And she immediately starts crying when he's like, no, I'm not going without her. And you can really tell that there's a lot of love between them.
Yes. It's like, it's very real. This is like, they were being nice to, there was no bullying. At all. Really? Well, there was like a light roasting at the end, but like, I felt like that was like super genuine. It didn't have the same spirit as a lot of what they have said to each other.
Yeah. And it was really like, it was really cute. I thought like, it was like very flirty. She comes in and she has her little tea and she's like, I have to tell you something. And he's like, what? She's like, I don't hold against me, but I do think I still love you. And he gets like really close to her and whispers, I knew.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. I
like
the
type
together.
Of thing like you can't say if you don't love them back. Uh-huh. Like then it's mean. But I like, he like clearly also like really cares about her.
Definitely. So even though they didn't get to go on the date, I agree with you, Kirsten. They are my winner pick. I think that we're seeing at the end of this, we're seeing them being like, we're giving this another shot. I went to her Instagram to try to get any intel. Obviously, I knew that there wouldn't be any there because of the show.
Yeah.
But it's like very few pictures. It's only like 7 pictures. Which
you had to hide every picture of them together.
I'm like, I hope that means that they're back together. We'll just have to see how it all plays out. But okay, so then they go on the date. What do you think of the Dee Dee Blair connection?
I mean, it seems like on the date, like they are definitely attracted to each other. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a lot more than that there, but that's also fine. Like you can rebound and like move on with your life. And it doesn't have to be like a forever.
1000%. And you just deserve someone to have like fun and like be happy with, you know?
And the reason why I say that is because of a couple of quotes in the episode. At one point, Blair says, oh, I just think Dee Dee really comes at things from a different perspective than other girls. And I'm like, you don't know what perspective girls come from except for Ariel and Dee Dee. So just because they're different, you're like, yeah. Oh, well, like Ariel's like everyone else. And that's a bad thing. And Dee Dee's mm-hmm. different. It's like, no, they're both just women. Like, it's yeah. fine. Mm-hmm. And it's good. And then later in the episode, Dee Dee talks about Blair and is like, he's just so deep, like not verbally, but you can just like see it in his eyes. I'm like, okay, so like he's hot.
Yeah.
And you want there to be something more to it than just finding him hot. Got it.
Yeah. So my God, do you know how many times I've been like in my past, like young and Delulu, been like, well, he's so cute. And like, I bet you that he's smart. And then you talk to him and you're like, oh no.
Well, and like, even the conversation we saw between them is like, Blair's like, I'm active and I'm adventurous. What are you into? And you could tell she's like, oh, like I want to do those things, but I need someone to push me out of my comfort zone. It's like, okay, so you've told him nothing about who you are mm-hmm. because you're just impress him because you think he's hot and you want to smash, which is fine.
I mean, that's what we're here for.
Don't call it anything but that, you know?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
And yeah, I think it's the thing too where like Blair doesn't seem like he says that much in general, and I think people really think still waters run deep, but sometimes they're just still.
That is such a great observation, because I like the more introverted or like shy people, it makes it easier to project onto them, you know? And when they're hot, it makes it 10 times easier, you know?
Yeah, there's then you're just like, oh yeah, they're hot. And also they must have every other quality I like.
Exactly, exactly. So then they get back from this date and Takur is just really drunk and being like a sourpuss. And
he's
just like sucks, man.
He sucks so bad. He's like sulking at the table because they're doing like a family dinner thing. And I think Jillian says, or maybe Casey says, like, what's wrong? He's like, well, I spent a bunch of time cooking. Well, my wife was like with some fucking asshole.
Not your wife. Not your
and
wife.
That's what I wrote. She is not your wife anymore. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like losing it. And Dee Dee is gentle parenting him. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't help you if you don't tell me how you feel. Like, don't you think it will feel better if you share your feelings with me and we can talk about it? And it's not getting through to him. And he's like, you're just never on my side. Yep. And she's like, just because I disagree with you does not mean that I'm against you. And he goes, he stands up and goes, this is why I hate you. No, I don't think he's safe to be on this show.
Yep.
Like, I also think that he should have been removed.
I completely agree. He says, fuck you to her too, which like, I mean, cold day in hell before a man ever says something like that to me.
To say, like, to go from like, oh, I'm so mad that you have a connection with someone else to I hate you. Fuck you. No, like, it's just not acceptable behavior. And I really think he should have been pulled from the show. I think it's super irresponsible that he was there, because then he starts going on about how he wants to punch someone just to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And Casey is like trying to talk him down.
Yeah. And, you know, like he's in the confessional and he's like, I make these bad choices. Like, to me, it's clear that he has some serious problems.
Yes.
And I don't want to, you know, like,
we're not doctors on what they are. We can't diagnose him. We don't know.
But it's clear that the problems that he has make him irrational and
aggressive.
Yeah. And potentially violent. And he's a large, large person who could do a lot of damage if he decided to be violent. And I would agree with you that he should have been pulled from the show. I can't believe he didn't get voted out.
Yeah, I think that that's because the people are having their elimination conversations in a very like, well, but who's here for love? And Casey is being an idiot and being like, oh, yeah, I like this guy. I'm sorry. That is the biggest red flag.
Yeah.
Like, Casey, I'm sorry that this is your first time being single and you're super single and you want to have fun, but you can find a better person to have fun with.
Yep. Exactly. Listen to Kirsten. She knows what she's talking about. Ugh. Do you know how many of these shows she's watched?
Too many. I wish I didn't know.
I have in my notes, Mims dash wants to go home. LOL.
Yeah, he's just like, he's done. He just wanted to be with Allie.
Yeah. So should we talk about the last thing really to talk about is Ariel, Jillian, David sort of love triangle that's happening here. So Ariel and David are just getting to know each other. And like, genuinely to me, it feels very innocent. Like I don't think like even like the conversations that they had, even though they were like about sex, like Ariel was talking about how Blair was her first and David was talking about how he was Jillian's first. Like it was not sexual in nature. It was very much just like sharing experiences of like getting together with someone really young and like how that's now affected them. Like I don't even know like if it's super romantic between them. It just seems like they're getting along fine.
No, it just seems like it seems totally platonic to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a spark. And Ariel basically says in a confessional, like, David with his dad bod just feels so safe. And as someone who's divorced, it like feels good to like talk to someone who feels safe.
Of course.
It makes total sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think there's anything there. And Jillian really thinks Ariel has bad intentions. I don't think Ariel has any intentions whatsoever. Like, she's just living her life.
I think that the issue is genuinely that, okay, this is my little tinfoil hat theory about Jillian and David. I think that Jillian is the one who called for the divorce. We found out a little bit more about why. Seems as though when Jillian's father passed away, David was nowhere to be found and did not support her through that, which not
to me. You hear that story and I wouldn't, like, I would just tell Ariel that. Be like, do you know why we broke up? This is what happened.
Yep.
That's going to kill interest.
Exactly. Like, the whole thing is horrible. But I think that Jillian was like, I left David. Like, David's not good enough for me. I am great. We're going to go on this show. It's all going to be good. And then they got there and Jillian is not ready to be with anybody else because not because she like even still really wants to be with David, because I think that if we learned anything from the show, it became very clear that no, she did not want to be with David anymore, but she was not over David yet. So she became sort of like possessive over him because she wasn't ready to do anything like this. And David, since he was the one who was broken up with and she had been at, it sounds as though he was trying to fix it and she was adamant that she did not want that. He was in a much more like he was in a place beyond them,
because he's been told over and over, this is over, we're not getting back together. She's been told over and over, I'm so sorry about what happened, I want to fix this. And so it must be really difficult for her to see him actually listening to what she said and being over, you know, like that. It's tricky.
And, you know, then they voted her out because it didn't seem like she was really interested in any of the other guys. And I do think that that's true. I don't think she was. And I think it's because she was still processing this huge heartbreak that she had with David. They had like a very serious conversation where he took accountability and apologized for what went wrong in their marriage. And I think that like that honestly has been like maybe years and years of pent up like anger towards him. Like, she finally felt like she got what she needed to hear from him. But I don't think it was in the way of like, finally, I get my closure. I think it was like, oh my God, finally, you said what I needed you to say. Like, let's keep talking about this, you know? Whereas for David, I think it was more like, I said what I needed to say. We actually had a conversation and now it's done. Now we have our closure. And like, when he voted her out or when all the guys voted her out, she was like, she just kept saying, like, I just don't think this was the right decision. Like, I think that David and I were finally like talking about things and working through things, but like she thought that they were working through stuff and he thought that it was like the finale convo, you know?
100%. And so when they do their goodbye, when she leaves, they talk about how they were each other's first loves. David apologizes if he ever let her down.
Sobbing, both of them.
They're both crying. David says, I'm not going to hold you back anymore. And Jillian says we wish each other the best. Like, we accept that we're not good for each other. But I do think David's going to feel differently when he gets into the real world, because I think in the real world, David probably doesn't have as many women like vying for his attention or like wanting to talk to him, like attractive single women. Like, I'm sure there's people talking to him. But I think that he's in a very unique situation where he's like a little bit in demand. In like a isolated place. And I think that when he gets into the real world and realizes that dating is not like how dating in the Big D is, he's probably gonna have a different opinion, would be my thought on it.
Yeah, maybe yes and no. I don't know. I think that like, and it's very clear to me that like this relationship was not healthy for either of them. And I do think that like, I mean, from the three episodes of television that we saw of them, I thought maybe they could work it out. But like, it seems as though that's not going to happen. And like, it is good that they are moving on and trying to get away from each other, you know? And I hope that she finds somebody who can support her in the way that she deserves to be supported, because that story was just like really, really horrible.
It was not good. Like, someone who's going to treat his wife like that, like, yes, it's immature, but it's also just like they were in each other's lives for so long. And he still was like, I'm going to go to New York. Sorry, your dad died.
Yeah. I mean, like that kind of stuff. That's just like, but that's somebody who can't deal, right? That's somebody who can't step up and take care of their partner when the worst thing that can happen to a young person, you know, whose child, like when somebody loses their parent, that's like the most major trauma that they go through.
You need a lot of support in that situation. And like, you might not know what you need to ask for either. Like, I have lost my mother. Like, I've been in a similar situation. And it's a thing where like, you feel bad and you feel angry and you feel hurt and you don't even necessarily know what to ask for, but just having the people you love there for you, even if it's not, you know, fulfilling the need that you need it to fulfill, because like, there's no rule book, there's no guidebook on what to do. And death makes people really uncomfortable and feel weird.
Exactly. But
the bare minimum that you can do for someone is just be there for them so that when they do know what they need to ask for, you're there. And it's, I'm not saying that, oh, someone's friends need to be with them 24/7. This is your supposed to be your life partner.
Exactly.
You have to be there and you have to support them and you have to give them what they need and not make them feel bad about whatever they're feeling in that moment. And he couldn't do that. And to me, that's just, that would be a deal breaker. Like, that's not, you can never come back from that.
Yes. Because how can she ever rely on him ever again? What if they have a child? Like, how can she rely on him? If he couldn't even be there for her in her darkest moments, how could she possibly trust him to be the father of her child? You know,
you can't. Like, that's not a safe person. That's not a trustworthy person. So I hope that they just don't talk anymore. Like, it's also another one of those things, like what we were talking about last week about like going no contact in a breakup. Like, when you've been together for a long time and you break up and they don't have children to co-parent, they need to not talk for at least a year, period. Like, no contact, not following on social media, not texting, no checking in. Go live your life so that you can actually start moving on, because they are just going to pull themselves into this vortex over and over and over again if there's even one hole open for it.
Exactly. And on that note,
yes,
we're done. We're done with the Big D this week.
Can I say one more thing?
Of course. Of course.
During the when the men are deliberating about who is going to leave, Takur says Ariel's not looking for a love. And that's why she should go home.
I think Takur is like,
what is wrong with him? I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. We can't say, but there's something wrong with him.
I will say to you off pod my hunch, because
I will share my hunch off pod too, where we can be like, who are we to judge?
Who are we to judge? But we are judging. Like, I mean, no, he just. Yeah, worst.
He's horrible.
winner chicken dinner out of both shows, worst guy to be seen, I believe. Yeah. Thus far.
And it's tough to win with the number of people. Like, there's some bad people on these shows.
Would you rather Hanya or Takur?
Rather what? Like, murder them?
Be with.
No.
Would you rather? You have to pick.
No, I'm not picking. I'm not picking between physical violence and emotional abuse. I'm not doing it.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make a funny joke.
Oh, my God. It is a funny joke. Like,
Okay. Rank. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Rank the worst guys that we've podcasted about. Okay, is on number Hot Dummies one on Islands.
The worst guy or the best guy?
Number one is the worst. Okay. I'm going to give you the three options.
Okay.
Takur, Hanya, Kendall.
Real murderer's row, you know? So I'm going to put Kendall as the worst.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because, like, he was straight up an abuser.
And, like, had no life behind his eyes.
And, like, so horrible. Like, that man was a serial killer. I'm going to put Hanya... I'm going to put Hanya second.
You are?
Only because, from what we can see of Takur, he has all of the inclinations but has not acted on them. Hanya's acted on them. But Takur is the scariest of all three to me. Yeah, he just is too. Like a time bomb that hasn't exploded yet.
Yeah, Takur is the scariest to me also because I feel like somebody like Kendall or Hanya would, like, have no... Like they're...
With- like, what, Hanya was what, like 5'4"? I could fight Hanya.
Yeah.
Like, if Takur was mad at me, I'd be weeping instantly. Like, I'd be done. Yeah. There'd be, it would be white woman tears over here, like, if he yelled at me. And I'd really try, if I ever get upset or if I'm in a fight, I actively try not to cry, specifically because I never want my emotional response to, like, change the tone of an argument or, like, you know, have any sort of implication. I wouldn't be able to control myself. I'd be a puddle. I'd be done. He's so scary to me.
I also think, you know, we did have we had a full season of Kendall. We had a full season of Hanya. Let's wait. You know, there's time. He can move up in the bad guy rankings. Maybe by the end of this, he'll be number one.
I also think we're not getting a full season of Takur. Like, he's not lasting.
I pray that we don't. There's a clip of him that they showed in all of the promos that I was hopeful would happen this week. And then when it didn't, I was like, oh my God, he's going
to
stay.
I have not seen one promo for this show. What happened to the promo?
It's the clip of him going up to Blair, like, one night at night and being like, how was it fucking my wife? So I was hopeful that he was going to say that to him, like, after the date, you know, like, belligerently.
Well, I hope it happens next episode and then they send him home because of it.
I mean, yeah, for spooky reasons.
The fact that even, like, Dee Dee was like, I think Takur, like, is growing and, like, there's more growing to do. So I was like, no, he should be removed from the show. Like, he should not be allowed to be on the show. The way that he's so volatile, you don't know how he's going to respond to things.
I'm still dying at you saying a real murderer's row.
What? That's what it is. Like, what else are you going to call that group?
No, it's just iconic.
Is it because I'm old? Iconic. Like, is that like an old person thing to say?
No, it's just like an iconic thing to say, Kirsten. That's why it's making me laugh.
I love that all this time and I can still make you laugh.
You've been making me laugh this whole episode. You've been killing me. Okay, so... Oh, thank you all for listening, Feather Brains. We love you so much. Thank you for going on this ride with us for the Hot Dummies on the USA Network. Kirsten, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I was on the RHAP Podcasters versus Survivors Brand Steel this week, which is super fun. Mm-hmm. I also have Mess Magnets every week with Sasha Joseph on the reality TV wrap-up feed where we break down pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics, whatever's on the front page of the internet. That's what we're going to be covering. So that's also fun. The episode is late this week, but it is coming. We're sorry for the lateness. It was Sasha's birthday. And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. Maggie, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_. This is where I will be for the next couple of weeks until Big Brother coverage starts. So check back here on the feed and you will get me and Kirsten in your ears. So thank you guys so much for listening. We love you and we will see you next week.